Let's talk some Georgia, Florida, as the man who needs no introduction joins us right now.
Give
on
him
the
one
loud
anyway.
Security Systems
respect.
Newsmaker line. One of the best to ever play at Georgia. He is David Pollack. Mr. Pollack, always a pleasure, sir. How's it going?
My dude, how y'all doing?
Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Obviously talking about this game, and we've talked about it with others going back to the summer. I don't think anybody was as worried about the Florida Gators as Georgia fans, as they certainly are now. Times have changed.
Yeah, times definitely have changed. And I think the offenses, when you come from this standpoint, I think you feel less confident about Georgia's offense because they've given you some reason to doubt them. And Florida, I think you knew Florida's defense would be good, but once Felipe Franks got hurt, I think everything changed in a different direction. And we knew they had weapons. Like, Florida had receivers, and we knew that was the strength of their team, but we didn't know if Felipe Franks would be able to maximize it. And now when you got Kyle Trask in there, you can tell the offense is different. It's scarier. They can make more big plays mixed with Ben Mullen's ability to manufacture matchups and stuff. And it's definitely, I think everybody before the season was like, oh, it's easy. Cocktail party will be an easy matchup. And now it's like, wait a minute. Most of the people I hear now say, you know, Florida's the best one-loss team in the country. So it's definitely flipped the script.
In its simplest terms, this is what I've kind of thought this week. DeAndre Swift has to be the best player on the field to ensure that Georgia not only has the best chance to win, but actually does win the game. Is that too simplistic?
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best backs in the country. And listen, he's not just a great back. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. And you got to find ways because he can touch it and make a play at any point. And Georgia's offense, by the way, you know, I think the biggest injury, the biggest impact on Georgia's offense has been Cager. You know, losing Cager was a huge deal. I mean, you saw the Notre Dame game. Anytime Fromm got in a situation where he needed a one-on-one matchup, who did he throw to? He threw to him. And Cager's comes down with contested balls better than anybody in the country by the numbers. I think he's 9 of 11 on throws that he has a guy on him that's contested best in the country. So I think when he has him back, I think that'll help when you get man on the outside. But Swift is the dude, man. He's special. He's unique. He's a guy that can make you miss in a small area. Not only that, Georgia needs to play action. Georgia needs to take shots down the field to their big wide receivers. But Swift will have to be the catalyst for sure to get everybody going.
David Pollack with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. Do you believe Jake Fromm when he says nothing is really going to change for this game offensively?
I hope he's lying. I mean, I hope there's some changes from a standpoint of I hope they play action the football more and Georgia's offense becomes takes advantage. If Swift is the guy and you're going to stick in his belly, I'd like to see more play action there. They're not doing that as much as they were. So I think you'll see tweaks. I think you'll find weight. I think you'll see Cook more involved. You know, if your receivers aren't getting open, I'd put Cook on the field and use his athletic ability in some way, shape, or form. Blaylock has to be big. He's another guy that is dynamic with the ball in his hands. But now I think the offense will look a little bit different. Anytime you have a bye, an extra week to prepare and use formations and stuff like that and to your strength and study the opponent and game plan more, the offenses always change and have tweaks, especially you self-scouted too. You spend a week going, we were doing this and, you know, this isn't working. We're doing this and this is working. And you start to look at yourself a lot more in those bye weeks than you do in weeks past.
Hey, David, were Friday nights and Saturday mornings created equally for you or before the Florida game? Was it different before some of these other bigger games? Was it consistently the same for you, or did you actually, could we tell that it was a bigger game if we would have bumped into you on Friday night or Saturday morning?
It was much different. It just was. And I know coaches don't want to hear that, and coaches want to keep things very similar, but it was the rivalry for us during my time that it was a team that consistently beat us, and we wanted to make sure we took care of business. So it was definitely more. And I'll tell you another thing, too. It was more to the coaches because the coaches, I can say the coaches that I coach or I played under, you know, the buttholes got tight on that week. Okay. The speeches were more fiery and it was usually, you know, you could just tell the coaches were more tense during practice during the week. And listen, players feed off of that stuff. So no, it definitely meant more. This was the week in the season that meant the most in my time at Georgia.
You don't have to name a name, but do players notice then if a coach is calling a game differently and it is because he's got a little pucker going?
Oh God, yeah. Well, you know, you were there. You see it in practice. You're like, whoa, holy cow! Like this dude just flew off the handle for no reason. So you definitely know. And you know the week before, and one of the when you start incorporating plays, you know, when you're playing some other teams, and you start incorporating plays that you know people run down the road, and you're really studying for certain teams a lot more, and you just definitely. You definitely feel it from your coaches, and it changes the way you feel as a player.
David, does the perception of Kirby Smart change at all if they lose this game? He'll be 4-4 against top 10 teams if they drop this one.
You know, I think Kirby, I think some people, it depends. It depends what your perception is. I mean, I think some people look at Kirby and go, Kirby is an elite recruiter. I don't know that he's an elite coach. I think he's still, listen, he's 43 years old. I think he's still learning on the job, and he's made mistakes just like anybody else is going to make mistakes. I think he's an elite recruiter, but I think there is something to clock management and game management and the experience you continue to gain along the way as a coach in your third and fourth season that you've come to expect doesn't happen. And so I wouldn't necessarily change my view. I think the South Carolina game is – you know, tore more Georgia fans up than losing to Florida. Florida's a really good football team. South Carolina was terrible a couple of weeks ago.
Do you think if you were Vegas, the David Pollock casino, you got a big board up, is Kirby the next guy, in your opinion, without a title, who wins a title? Or where does he rank maybe in that world for you? Do you think he wins a title at the University of Georgia?
Well, I would put Ryan Day first on that list currently. Because I think Ohio State's the best team in the country. So I think they're right now the favorite to be able to accomplish that. But I would put Kirby next after him, and I think Kirby 100%, I think he will win a national title at Georgia. I think he'll continue to get great players. I don't think Kirby's never going to be a guy that rests on his laurels. He's always going to recruit at a high level. And if Kirby needs to make a change to his staff, I don't think he's going to bat an eye. I think he'll make a change and until he finds the right personnel and the right mix. And, you know, offensively, I think they got to find out what they do well and, you know, what their future is. And does it change and continue? Because if it's going like it is, it's going to have to be something that's different. And so I think he is the next coach after Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day has the best chance to win a national championship this year.
What kind of career would you have had if you were playing against these Big 12, Pac-12 type offenses where you know there's going to be more guys dropping back? I mean, would your game have been different had you played in a different conference?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, you definitely would have gotten more opportunities to rush the passer, which means you get more opportunities to get sacks, which is a beautiful thing for a fat defensive lineman. I mean, that's what we love, baby. That's how you pad your stats. But football is definitely, I mean, just to say that, though, like you think about LSU and Alabama, they're Big 12 teams. And this is exactly what the Big 12 has been. Elite quarterbacks with elite skill that can score at any time, and their defenses have taken significant steps back from what they used to be. So it's kind of interesting. I said weeks and weeks ago, what's going to win in the SEC? Is it going to be an SEC team, or is it going to be a Big 12 team? And right now, you know, the Alabama and the LSUs of the world definitely look like they're in a better position.
Think about this. It's crazy because Nick Saban was the guy that was saying it was illegal to play this hurry-ups. And all of a sudden, he's actually doing it. Do you think Kirby has to change somewhat style, system, to compete and have a better chance to win that national title?
Well, let me ask you a question, Chris. If you're going after the best wide receivers in the country and you're going to say you're an elite athlete, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, those guys that they have, are you going to say, I want to play with that offense that spins it all over the yard and Joe Burrow
yes.
or something?
Yes.
Or am I going to come
to okay.
So
yes.
The answer is yes. You have to change. You have to evolve if you're going to get elite players. And there's another thing, by the way, about Georgia. Where is Jake Fromm at his best? In the two-minute drill, in the hurry up, the no huddle, things simplify. He's better at getting the ball out on time. And when you hurry up the game, defenses cannot be in the perfect defense. They cannot game plan you perfectly because coaches are way too worried about missed assignments and big plays. So what happens, they become extremely vanilla. And when they become vanilla, Jake Fromm can carve people up. So I wouldn't be surprised if you saw more of that this season. You had a bye week. I would have I would incorporate more of that this week if I want to be more successful.
David Pollack finishing up with him as he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Plenty of season left. Do you think the way the rest of this year goes has any bearing on whether or not Jake Fromm comes back for his senior year?
I think the only way he wouldn't come back is if he won a national title. Now, I don't think there's any other way. I think Jake's the type of kid that he's a consummate, like, leader. He's the guy you want to marry your daughter. Like, he's that kind of guy. I mean, he's everything you want in a quarterback and in a leader. He's not the most talented guy by any stretch. You watch Eason throw football, and you watch over the years, and I've watched Eason and Fields, and you're just like, whoa, that ball just snaps out of their hands. And Fromm doesn't have that, but he has everything else you want. And I just think his love for Georgia and everything else, I think he'll stay. I think he'll also be a big-time player again for another year with a chance to improve, because he's not a first-round pick right now. There's no doubt about it. And now, I don't know what he can do to accomplish that either, unless he continues to work on arm strength and continue to grow, and maybe the system continues to grow and fits him a little bit better and fits it where he can play, make more, and do stuff. But I think he'll be at Georgia next year.
Hey, David, I don't know if you know the games, but the two extremes maybe in your college career where you just said, line them up. Nobody's stopping me today. You just get that feeling early on in the game, and you're spitting fire. But there's got to be a game where you just go, I got nothing. This guy's owning me. I just can't. You feel slow, or you feel, as you said, a little bit heavier than normal. Had you experienced both ends, both A and Z, on a college football field?
1,000%. And one thing I tell all these kids is, you know, and it's not a secret. Like, your body doesn't always feel good. And there's sometimes when you're nicked up a little bit and you go on the field and you don't have your A game. You don't have your fastball. And it's not going over the plate at 104. And it's down a significant amount. So how do I find ways to continue to win? So, yeah, you have highs of highs, and you feel like, oh, man, I can't be stopped. I can't be blocked. And then you'll have lows where you're like, how do I figure this puzzle out? And that's what you got to do. You got to find ways to win no matter what, even if it's not the same way every single time. I got to find ways to defeat my opponent, whether it's speed or whether it's power, whether it's fakes, whether it's hands, whatever it is, it has to continue to change and morph.
Well, and the expression is film don't lie. Those are the days that if the scouts are trying to figure you out, if you kind of look like, I don't have it today, and then you don't really put forth the effort. I'm assuming those are the ones when they're looking at your best and they're looking at your worst. Those are not the ones that you want on film.
Well, and effort is non-negotiable. Effort is a you problem. You can always give great effort. Effort is something that comes that requires zero talent whatsoever. And so if you're not giving it your all, then that's a you problem. And that's something that definitely would concern me. But winning every single rep is not something that's humanly possible, but I can tell if you're fighting. And if you're fighting, then I'll go to war with anybody in the trenches or anybody on my team.
Hey, David, before we let you go, you brought up Ryan Day in Ohio State. This leads into the Falcons being bad and a lot of people saying they need to get Chase Young. What sets him apart?
There's most guys that you look at, they're 6'5", 250, 260 pounds. They're human freaks, and the freakazoid athletes like him, they win because they're a one-trick pony, because they're so physically imposing. He wins because he's got great bend, he's got great hands, he's got great athleticism. A lot of people win just because they have great hands. A lot of people just win because they have great athleticism. When you put this crap together, first of all, he's not a human, he's a transformer. He's like 6'5". 260 and just, you're not supposed to move like that. It's just not normal. And then you encapsulate the technique. He's Nick Bosa, who you see tearing up the NFL, but more athletic with more length than Nick Bosa. So that, to me, he's a can't miss guy. I'm taking it over every quarterback. He's literally the most dominant defensive end that I have seen play in my whole time covering the game.
Last one. Are you over missing it? Are you over missing playing yet? Or is it still, do you still get a pang every once in a while?
Oh, no. I love covering it and then waking up the next day not feeling like I got hit by a bus. Mm-hmm. So I definitely don't – I don't have the itch because I still have football in my life, dude. So I'm happy to still have a connection to the game and a reason to watch tape and study and kind of put myself on the field. Who's going to win and be competitive but not get hit by a bus?
Great perspective, David Pollack. Always a pleasure. We'll talk down the road.
All right, dude. Y'all fun, man. Good to talk to you, boys.
David Pollack with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.